It is 21 and a half minutes after the hour on a transcendent Tuesday, and as Don Clark reminded us, this is actually the same time he would have been on last week, thanks to the morning show shifting ahead an hour and going to standard time. So there's really nothing new under the sun, is there, Don?
Oh, no, there isn't. No, anything that has been played out before many, many times.
Yes, so. It has. And we're rediscovering new routines. It's amazing what little change can do to people who are entrenched in their routines like I am. So,
this kind of reminds me of the what it says on my mirror on the car.
Yeah.
Objects in the mirror may appear closer than they really are.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm overthinking it.
Well, that could be, but it gives one pause
possible.
Sometimes. How like life just, that is.
Is the object really closer, or just does it look that way?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
If I back up slowly, am I going to hit it? Or if I back up really fast,
yeah.
am I going to hit
then
it?
Just don't change lanes. Don't trust
okay. it. It depends on how fast your reflexes are.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm sorry. I just
well, they could have put on the mirror, please disregard what you see here. You know.
Yeah. And every time you talk about daylight savings time and moving the clock back and forth and up and down, I get the same feeling when I look in my mirror.
And we should pose that question to Don. Don Clark is a biochemist, not a physicist, but I think he can handle this one. He lives in Garden Valley, Texas, and joins us every Tuesday morning. Also a member of the Board of Creation Moments. We typically talk about the biblical story of creation and Genesis and things scientific. But today it's, partly science, but now I forgot what I was going to ask you, Don.
Oh my goodness! We're really starting.
It's
starting off with some.
Was it a relativity question, right?
Relative, well, something like that. Yeah. Let me ask you this instead. I was at the grocery store yesterday, wearing my mask because the governor of Texas says so. If you're in a public place, you have to wear a mask, and I don't like to even wear it in the parking lot. You know, I'll put it on before I go into the store. But I had the mask on as I came out of the store, and I'm walking down with my groceries to my spot in the parking lot, and a car passes me with the windows open, and I smell cigarette smoke. And the thought occurred to me, if I'm wearing my mask and I can smell cigarette smoke, how does this thing protect me from a virus? Or does it?
Well, yes, there you go. That's a good question, and certainly a question that is, has been debated since this COVID pandemic has, hit the United States and hit the world, because, even Fauci himself, when the COVID first started, he said, wearing masks aren't really that effective. And then later on, he said, no, we must wear a mask. And now he wants a mask mandate, for the whole country. So what's the truth behind it?
Yeah, how much of it is science and how much of it is politics and how much of it is just a guy's best guess? How do they test those things? How do you set up an experiment to test the effectiveness of a mask? I mean, do you put a bunch of people in the room all wearing masks and maybe put something in the air and then test it if it's in the people's systems? Or do they raise their hand if they can smell it? Or do you test for carbon dioxide? Do you put virus? How do you do that? How do you test a mask?
Well, you have to first ask what is actually being transmitted. Now, obviously, the virus is being transmitted. Question could be, say, well, that's a silly question. Of course, the virus is being transmitted, but how is it being transmitted? Initially, we were told that it was being transmitted through droplets, so that if you sneezed or if you coughed, you would have bigger droplets, and the virus would be in the droplets, of course. And if those droplets landed on you and you wound up rubbing your eyes or your nose or your mouth, then you could get the virus that way. Well, later on, it was determined that, yes, it can be transmitted that way, but it also is transmitted in very, very tiny little droplets or air moisture particles just by brereathing or, just by, exhaling and that type of stuff. Well, that's a much smaller particle than than droplets, you know, from a sneeze or a cough. Masks are effective against the bigger droplets, but most masks are not effective at all at preventing a virus that goes through breath, through the moisture in your breath, from being transmitted or from you getting it. So the overall question is, most masks are highly ineffective at preventing the spread of the virus. And indeed, recent studies have shown, even the CDC has shown, that 85% of the people, well, 70% of the people who wear their mask all the time, and 14% more of the people who wear their mask almost all the time, have been infected, which means that the mask isn't all that effective, even through the CDC data.
Well, this is a non-scientific, this is just a layman's point of view. As I wear my mask with my glasses on, my glasses fog up as I walk into an air-conditioned space like that grocery store, which tells me when I exhale, the air is going up and out the mask, not through it. So what difference does the mask make?
Well, that's the other point. I mean, that's to be an effective mask. One, it's got to filter out the tiny little particles, and the only type of material or the type of mask that will do that is an N95. That's what they were designed to do. Now, you can buy an N95 mask today, which is it all has to do with the pore size. So you got a couple of things going on. One is the pore size. Does the material that the mask is made of, or the multiple layers, do they actually filter out the tiny particles? And really, the only type of mask is the one that's classified as N95. Now, the second part of that, the mask has to be fitted properly in order to filter out the particles, because as you've just mentioned, you know, most of the air is going through. If it's not fitted properly and it's not tightly around your nose and your face, then it's just going around the edges of the mask as you breathe, and so that's not doing any good. It's not, the mask is preventing a little bit of forward spreading of your breath, but it's not, you know, not preventing the escape. They've recently come out with N95 masks that have breathing holes, or valves, if you will. So as you exhale, the valves open, and you've now completely defeated the purpose of the N95.
Yeah, I wondered about those valves.
So your breath now goes through the valves, and the rest of your mouth and your nose is covered. But if you're thinking that you're not infecting other people, you've got another thing coming.
Well, even if the valves work the other way, now you'd be inhaling, and it would open.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's the other side of the coin.
You've got a problem, you know, there. Cloth masks are probably the worst, because they're the worst. And you've got the surgical masks that you were wearing, perhaps, you know, these that you can buy in bulk, and you know, you can get a clean one every time you need to go out and get a go into the grocery store or wherever you go.
Those are those little the blue cloth ones.
They're actually made of polypropylene, mm-hmm. which is another issue, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But those are a little bit better. But as you've noticed, you know, they have that metal strip where the nose is, and you can never get it tight enough to seal it completely from breath going up, you know, and fogging mm-hmm. up your glasses. I have the same problem, and my problem is even compounded more because I have a beard. Well, you know, my beard is going to allow, my breath to completely go out, you know, through my beard, as opposed to even if I had a very successful N95 mask, that my beard would prevent me from being able to wear it properly. And so everybody would have to shave, and you would have to properly teach people how to use these masks. And the other problem is the N95 prevent so much air from going through the mask that you have a greater risk of a hypoxia, And so they recommend not wearing it more than 20 or 30 minutes if it's, you know, if it's sealed properly and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that, okay, that might give you enough time to go into the grocery store and come out. But somebody who has to wear, who's been told they have to wear the mask all day working, That's not gonna help.
And that's very common. There are corporate stores around the country that have mandated all employees to wear their masks continually through the day. And a lot of people have problems with that. We learned that firsthand.
Yes. Yes, they have problems. And a lot of those folks are getting respiratory issues because they're not only breathing their own breath back, so that gives you carbon dioxide, mm-hmm. you know, poisoning, if you will. And the other is that, okay, your mask, when you breathe, you've got moisture and bacteria and mold can grow on the inside of the mask. And even if you sterilize your mask with UV light, for example, during the evening or during the night, and you put it back on and start the day over again, you still have some of that bacteria and mold that is growing in the fabric itself of the mask that the UV light can't get to. So there are multiple issues with wearing masks. Now, the question is, what type of studies do you do to show the effectiveness of a mask? Well, multiple studies have been done on the porosity of masks, and of course they found that, gee, most masks are pretty porous and are going to let this virus go through. So they're ineffective from that perspective anyway. The other, from the porosity standpoint, it's you might as well enjoy, just breathing air as you normally do without a mask, as opposed to wearing one of the blue masks or wearing a cloth mask that you've made yourself or you find.
It's amazing how many mask companies sprung up and are now making their living cranking out masks, and there's no way to know how effective or how good any of their masks are. You don't know what you're getting.
Right, and they're not doing the clinical studies to show that, oh, yes, our mask is absolutely
effective. There's no test to pass to certify their masks, yeah.
Yes. Now, any other medical device, and a mask would be considered, I think, from a regulatory point of view, a medical device, if it was, worn properly, would have to go through FDA approval and say, before you could say that it's an effective mask. Otherwise, you might as well just, sew some material together and make your own mask. A lot of these companies are, selling masks and saying that, their product is effective for this reason or for that reason. But there are no clinical studies on those masks to support those claims. Now, the clinical studies have been done, by the way, on the effectiveness in mask wearing. And every study that has been done and the mega data analyses that are done, which means that you take, let's say there were 10 in this particular article by Mercola, for example, one reference was to the influenza virus and whether or not masks were effective in preventing the spread of the influenza. Well, there were 10 randomized clinical trials that were conducted asking that question, and then you could do a metadata analysis, which means you take all the data from all the 10 of those clinical trials and you analyze the results from that clinical trial. Now, it's not as good as having, a controlled clinical study and in it being just one large clinical study, but it gives you the trends in all of the data and you have a larger number of clinical, patients that you're studying if you do the meta-analysis. Well, the result of the meta-analysis, of that particular meta-analysis, was that, if you effectively wear a mask, your infection rate was 4.46%. But if you don't wear a mask, or if you only wear it part of the time, then the infection rate was 5.23. Now, you say, well, those numbers are different. They're not the exact same number. But if you look at the spread in the data, there is absolutely no significant difference between those numbers. So it's just a random chance that, you know, the numbers
how do you isolate the effectiveness of the mask from other variables like temperature, humidity, how the mask is worn, how many people are in the to me it's a minor almost a number you can discard. I mean, I don't know that I give it credibility.
And those are certainly valid points, and you'd have to do a very well-controlled clinical study in some type of an environment where you could actually monitor if the patient is if the person is wearing their mask and wearing it effectively.
They only gauge the results by how many people get infected, or do they test for some other substance other than COVID? I mean, they're testing for its effectiveness against COVID, so I imagine they can only tell the results by how many people are infected.
Well, that's correct. In this case, it was an influenza study, wasn't necessarily COVID. However, the similar type of studies have been done with COVID and found the very exact same thing. That is, wearing a mask had absolutely no effect on the spread of the disease, which you would think that, gee, if I wear a mask, I shouldn't be able to get the disease. If I go into Walmart, for example, and I have a mask on, I should be perfectly well protected. Well, because of the reason I've given earlier with the porosity and the type of mask and how you wear it and whether or not it's covering, completely sealing your mouth and nose. Probably 98% of the time it's not, if not more than that, because of the type of mask that people are wearing. They're just, even you go into the store, you go into Walmart, they have the blue mask. You pick up a blue mask, you put it on, and your glasses, as you've already known, get fogged, which means that the mask is not tight. So therefore, when you're even wearing a mask, it's not effective in preventing. And then the type of mask that you are wearing, which is these polypropylene masks, are not effective because the pore size is too big to block the virus and the air droplets.
It seems to me you don't need to be a scientist to deduce that. I mean, if you can breathe comfortably, it's not stopping anything. Period.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's only for show, and it's only, from a psychological point of view, it makes people feel better if they have a mask on. Well, it makes me feel worse because even the blue ones restrict my breathing, and so I don't want to wear it. I wait until I actually get into the store to put my mask on. And then sometimes if I'm down in the aisle and there's nobody in the aisle, I'll take the mask off. Partly take it off so I can breathe normally, and then I put it, back on when I'm passing another person. But it's totally ineffective. So, all the studies that are the clinical studies, even that have concluded that mask wearing is ineffective. So. You have to ask the question, why then is certain parts of the government and certain, certain states, governors mandating mask wearing when the science has clearly now shown that mask wearing is not effective, if at all, and maybe a little bit effective, only if the person is coughing and sneezing. Is a mask, effective. And even in that case, if a person is coughing and sneezing, they probably should stay home anyway. And I think that's the bottom line question. If you're ill, stay home. Okay. If you don't have a fever, if you're not coughing, if you're not sneezing, and you would be better off just going around in public without.
Yeah, David, did you have a question or comment there?
Well, no, there's one more benefit you've forgotten to mention. And the World Health Organization announced yesterday or the day before, or the weekend, I think it was, that there's one very important benefit to masks, and that's to allow small nations to develop industries and to build masks and sell them to the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so I mean, there's an economic benefit.
There's an economic benefit. They didn't really explain how big an economic benefit that 2 or 3 cents that they're going to make on the mass is doing this country. You're getting to the point that I'm curious about, too. And there was even, I think it was, who's the governor in Michigan?
Gretchen Whitmer.
Gretchen Whitmer. And she said on October 13th that we've got to elect Joe Biden because he can cure the virus. Really? It's news to him. It's news to anybody who follows Joe Biden, and that's why she's making sure that everybody in Michigan wears a mask all the time, every day, every night, all the time. And so it's become a very, very noticeable political move. And unfortunately, we don't have another week before everybody learns that and figures out that it's all been a plot and a plan.
Now, I can't help but wonder if science is really going to get a black eye when we all discover that, hey, this was stupid. This was the wrong idea. And if you listen to the science, they keep saying, listen to the science, follow the science. The science says masks are ineffective. So there's a lack of communication. And then it boils down to media and the honesty of people in politics and in decision-making positions around the country. Not science, but science could wind up looking foolish, could it not? Or will the system get blamed for this ultimately?
Well, I mean, the folks that are doing the true science, that is, that are doing these type of analyses and actually trying to get some clinical data to support or not support the mask wearing, they can't even get their information published in journals because it's become a political hot potato. Which is not the fault of the science. It's the fault of the editors of the journal and the prohibition or the censoring of information that we now have in this country and probably around the world on anything that goes against the political norm at the time. Which is the most dangerous thing. Whether or not you wear a mask is one thing. It should be up to you anyway. But the most dangerous thing is the encroachment on the freedom of speech and the freedom of, we have this data. We'll put it out to the scientific community. The normal process would be that the scientific community could respond and say, wait a minute, you did this study, but it's flawed in this area or that area, and let the scientists themselves beat this out, as opposed to beating it out in the political realm where you can't even get the information out there.
Well, let's develop another scenario. 6 months from now, whoever is in power mandates mask wearing across the country, and all of a sudden people rise up and refuse to wear masks. So they, send the National Guard out to corral us and put us in fenced-in areas? Or do they begin to look at the science and say, hey,
Well, I think, people have to stand up and you can, the information is out there and, you just have to search and, to find it. Unfortunately, a lot of this is on alternative type of media and outlets as opposed to the mainstream media, because they have decided that this is dangerous for people if they learn that masks are ineffective. So, we don't want that information getting out for whatever reason. But we have to demand that information gets out and let the people decide whether, for themselves. That's what typically is done in a, democratic republic type of environment where, the people actually have rights. Not in a socialistic or a communistic environment where the government tells you what you must do and therefore you must do it. if the government says wear a mask, then you wear a mask because the government has said it. But, you know, we in supposedly a free free environment and free country should be able to discern this information, you know, and decide for ourselves if we feel better wearing a mask, then wear the mask. If you feel better not wearing a mask because you breathe easier and you're not getting any respiratory effects from wearing the mask, you know, do that. But to censor this information is a great injustice upon our people.
Oh, maybe we should start a revolution, David. What do you say?
I think so. I think we should. Yeah. I've noticed in my travels, and I was out and about, you know, quite a bit last week, up in the northern part of the state, and it seemed like the smaller the town, the fewer masks I saw.
Well, here, even here in, you know, in Tyler, I mean, we live about 30 miles, you know, northwest of Tyler in a small community called Garden Valley. It's a small community. You go to Lyndale, not many people are wearing masks. You go down to Tyler, almost everybody is wearing masks. So, yeah, I would concur that the larger the population centers are, the more people are wearing the mask. But the problem is, you know, they're getting the false impression that they're being protected, and the data is showing that they're not being protected.
Right. So I think it's going to take a mass rebellion to focus on the true science behind this. Everybody's going to rip off their mask and say, Yahoo, look at the science. And hopefully somebody will take another look and start to discover some of this stuff. So anyway, it's a developing story. And we'll follow it on Broken Road Radio, thanks to Don Clark. Don, a biochemist, member of the board of Creation Moments. We'd recommend a visit to their website, creationmoments.com, and there you'll find scientific evidence and information about the biblical story of creation. And it'll make you feel a lot better about things. Spend some time there and go read Genesis and take heart. This too shall pass. Now, that's not in the Bible, but it worked for me, so.
Oh, yes, indeed. The insanity.
Fear not.
Yeah.
The insanity will end at some point.
Don, thanks very much. We'll see you next Tuesday, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you then.